Hey, what's going on, guys? We're back for another session of
Hello, hello, hello. How's it going, Perez?
Gotta do this. The last time we covered, I actually have some notes here, but we covered a bunch of stuff. We went through Phoenix. We went through Joe Katz, Nick Szabo's. We went through smart contracts, internet, TV, Satoshi Nakamoto. We pinned it to Judy Sheldon, and we wanted to continue, but I think Dad wants to take it on another road, and I find it to be pretty interesting. So, Dad, go ahead and explain to them what it is that you want to do with this, because you're the mastermind in this. Oh, and BitGold. Boom. Yeah,
oh, and that's kind of where it's going to lead right back into with tonight. I after we were talking about Nick Szabo, I started thinking about that, and then I woke up this morning and I did a little quick research since last night was just a spontaneous combustion. All right, off of this page, back to, you know, it all came back down to the Phoenix.
It was really good, though. It was really good, though. Like,
oh, it was fun. It was absolutely, like, it was amazing. It was a great time.
Okay. And we got a really good reaction from the crowd as well. That's why we decided to do – to kind of make it to where we see how good we get with it. And then maybe later on we could come up with other topics. You guys could come up with other topics, or we could have one of you guys on the show. Maybe one of you guys can call in and maybe have a question for us after we do a session. So we'll cover an article, or we'll cover some sort of a topic you guys want to cover. And then you call in and you ask a question, and then we'll come up with the best answer, the best possible answer. If we can't answer you on the spot, we'll go to the next caller. And Dad, this is just an idea, guys. I just want to know what you guys think. But go ahead, Dad. Take over.
Okay. If we're going back to a quick throwback, you just mentioned it again, back to Nick Szabo. The thing that stuck in my head is when we came up to the Bitcoin speculation and BitGold, I started thinking, and we kept digging. You brought up about the BitGold, and it came back to 1998. We came back to 1988. It kept coming back to 1989. And I started thinking I should have probably pulled it up. Actually, let me do it just for fun really quick. I'm going to pull back up Satoshi Nakamoto just because I found, going back to the dates, that was very interesting. Satoshi Nakamoto allegedly, let's see if I can get this to give me a second. Let me move one of these little. There we go. Okay, here it was. That's what I was looking for. Satoshi Nakamoto, April 5th, 1975. Stop it right at the there. Time of 1988, even 89-ish, but let's say 1988, the time. The Phoenix became popular, the new world currency, et cetera, et cetera. I started thinking, he was born in 1975. A major thing, April 5th, was the Tiananmen incident.
Which, remember, I told you, let's find out what year he was born and what was going on within that area. The last video, you remember I told you that. But we never.
Absolutely. Absolutely. These are my thoughts going off of what you said. Okay. It kind of like was ringing in my head. The Tiananmen incident actually happened April 5th, 1976, but the buildup had actually began prior. So not necessarily dwelling on that. That's not my point. But it was the same date, which was the same, like the time and area. Even though the protest was in 76, obviously it began the previous year. So coming back to that, I started thinking, Nick Szabo, we had Bitcoin, we had BitGold. And going back into, where was it at again? Satoshi Nakamoto, April 5th, 1975. And then what happened back then, which I found, it just keeps bouncing back and forth. It's like this crazy infinite loop. Okay, Satoshi Nakamoto, born 1975, at the time, 1988, he would be 13. Coming back to the BitGold. Okay, now to me, this was very, very interesting.
And I knew you were going to resort back to that BitGold, man.
But it kept going, which was really exciting.
Yes. honestly, the when I first heard that, I was in shock, to be honest. I was like, man, okay. And then Big Golden, I was like, no way. And he's going to deny that? Like, come on, bro. Like, everybody knows you invented Big Gold. Bitcoin, come on.
All right, now here's where, to me, I think it got very exciting. The Nick Szabo, you know, you come back, you have the Bitcoin. And what was the reasoning for the Bitcoin? I didn't pull it up off the top of my head, but I have my notes.
What was the reasoning behind it?
The whole, at least the public reasoning behind it was, you know, 2009 was the economic crash, the last major incident that we had.
Correct.
So that kind of brought this to life. Well, obviously, this had been created before, but it brought it to life, was like that economic
crisis. The recession. Okay.
Exactly. Recession. So I started thinking about that.
Wait. So we have the recession, and we have, but that was in 2008 that recession happened.
Yes. And when then Bitcoin came out in 2009 as a result from that 2008 thing, kind of like the Tiananmen 1975, and then the result in the same exact date for 1976. Okay, going back, I just wanted to pull up a cool article. Satoshi Nakamoto's birthday coincides with the law of confiscation of gold. You have Bitcoin, BitGold, because of an economic crisis. But again, if you go back to the event where, even then in the U.S., where the gold had been basically banned.
Stop. Go. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Go right ahead. Dive right in anytime.
So scroll down. No. You're scrolling. I'm sorry. Scroll up. So April 5th, 2018, a date that the Bitcoin enthusiasts will remember is Nakamoto's birthday. So that's a similarity, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
But the,
I just want to make sure that I saw what I saw.
No, that's okay. Right here, the result of his birth date, April 5th, 1975, a date that mashes together two important points in history. On April 5th, 1933, is when Franklin D. Roosevelt issued an executive order making it illegal to own gold in the country. That's referring to the United States. That's when people who owned gold had to turn in their gold. They had to hand over their gold because, again, he made it illegal to hold the gold. But again, the same date in 1975 is when they gained their rights back on April 5th, 1975. So that's the year and the date that Satoshi Nakamoto was born, which comes back to the birth of Satoshi Nakamoto. The same date that gold was permitted back into the U.S. was his birthday, April 5th. 1975.
What? That's insane. That's
so
insane.
Now you come back to Nick Szabo, and he created the BitGold. So if gold came out and it was all part of this whole thing, Satoshi Nakamoto's date is the exact date that the U.S. brought gold back into the country.
You got a lot of information, bro. You got to let me write it down.
I'm sorry. I get excited on this.
I'm like, go back. Turn into anything. He's like, no, me, him, me. Come on, bro.
I need to break. Sorry about that, man. So, I got excited. I figured this is something I wanted to surprise you with today.
I'm there, like, my brain stops. Like, it's kind of like you get to a certain part of the article, and as soon as I hear something like, ling, 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 it's like, it just stops there. And then you just see you, like, rolling by.
Backing up.
Beep, beep. Exactly. So on 1975, April 5th was when America was able to hold gold again. Like they implemented the law.
And this article is actually pretty cool. They even state in there, it's likely April 5th, 1975 isn't the day Satoshi Nakamoto was born, but it appears as if the creator of Bitcoin is further cementing his intentions with cryptocurrency by choosing such a...
No. So, can you repeat that one more time? You were talking about 1975, April 5th. That's when Nakamoto was born, but that's when America got the law of being able to hold gold again after it being illegal since 1933, correct?
Exactly.
Cool.
So, April 5th, 1975, which is the exact date they gave for this Satoshi Nakamoto to be the birth date that they chose. April 5th, 1975. You have Nick Szabo, who created like the speculative Bitcoin, big gold.
How did you even like revert back to that? Did you like check the history? Or it was just, you went to big gold and then that's when they explained. I don't know. How did you get there?
It gets kind of tricky how I learned to research.
No.
I would have to tell you my history to give me my mind's perspective.
No, you're a star. But it's just like, what went through your head? Like, you just went back to big gold, like where we left off? Because we didn't leave off there. We left off in with Garlinghouse. But I know that it was
exactly
to find out more about big gold because that's the beginning. So I understand that. So what was going through your head? Oh, I'm going to go back to big gold. And how did you get to this article?
Honestly, big gold wasn't even the direction I went. I went back into the date and the history. And I went to the location, Japan Satoshi Nakamoto. Then I did like the, let's say it right. Give me 1 second. Let me go back here. Okay, Japan. That's where he was supposed to be born. But then the thing that kept popping up was the huge Tiananmen incident. Mm-hmm. Even though I know it was, what's the word I'm looking for? Like instigated, obviously, the year before. Publicity always happens like the year after. It was the same date. And that kept popping up. And I was like, you know what? That's not what I'm looking for. So then I did like a global of the date. And that's when I came up with the thing with gold. And then once I came up with the actual date for gold being the 1933, April 5th was when it was banned from President Franklin D. Roosevelt, which was actually, I don't know if people know the history, he was the only U.S. president in history elected to a fourth term. And then it was shortly after that because of the Great Recession that was caused and extended because of his choices, we'll say choices, actually made it a rule that a president could, and a U.S. president could no longer hold more than two terms.
Well, I mean, I don't think it was based off of, I think it was just a hard lesson learned because remember, you had World War I, right?
Yeah.
What year was World War I? And I don't mean to get too much into that in that type of history, but I think it had to do with World War I and not being able to sustain the economy based off of gold when it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. You weren't able to double it or triple it or print it, you know? So
the World War I was July 28th, 1914 to November 11, 1918.
Okay. We'll just write that down just to make sure. Cause that's one of the major events as well. When it comes to this, cause 1933. So you had that prior to this. So, you know, it leads up to it.
And then kind of what brought that up was the gold popped up from the U.S. So then I started thinking the April 5th, 1975 is when they allowed the gold to come back. If you're coming out of my mind started thinking this, okay, we're coming out of the Great Depression, the recession, the gold ban. But when the gold came back, that is when the economy was sort of booming, gave them like a life of like a financial hope and freedom, so to speak. And then I started thinking, okay, what was the next closest thing historically connected to that was 2008. And then Bitcoin was born in 2009. So you had Satoshi Nakamoto, end quote, born April 5th, 1975, when gold was coming back in to help solve the financial crisis. And I started thinking, okay, Bitcoin came in 2009. It helped solve the financial crisis of 2008. So then I started going back. I'm like, okay, well, if Nick Szabo is the one...
It was an idea to help solve, but it hadn't solved yet. It hadn't solved anything yet.
No. Just the idea. Gotcha. Yeah, that's exactly right. We're on the same page with that. But again, I'm just explaining how my mind brought us to this point. So then I started thinking about what you said about Nick Szabo and then how he was the one, you know, like credited or blamed, whichever side you want to choose on that, for creating Bitcoin. You had the Bitcoin speculation. And then I started thinking, wait a second, Bitcoin, Bitgold, which they wanted to name it. So it was never implemented. It became Bitcoin. But the whole point was that was gold coming after the financial crisis. And then going back to Satoshi Nakamoto's death was the gold coming out of that crisis. So either which way, I wanted to share that with you. No, I just thought that was kind of a interesting connection from our last edition.
You know? That's amazing. Like, you don't even like. I had no idea. I had no idea, and that's pretty much what it is. Because we uncovered that Nakamoto was not real. That he doesn't exist. After uncovering this, now that we have this figured out right here, which is amazing, leads us to an answer, some footing. Arthur Brittle is kind of like the same. This is the guy that I wanted to pin down because we got Nakamoto pinned. But I don't think anybody's been able to touch base with Arthur Brittle. Have you ever looked into Arthur Brittle?
I have looked into. I'll explain how what I've come across. Arthur Brito is the Ripple version of Satoshi Nakamoto's Bitcoin version. Although the difference between the two
is that one word.
Arthur Brito is like is synonymous with Ripple / XRP. Mm-hmm. Satoshi Nakamoto is synonymous with. The mystery person behind the a Bitcoin. But the difference, which in my research I found out, is Satoshi Nakamoto, no one has ever seen him. No one has ever talked to him. No one has ever, they can't pinpoint who he is. He's not around. He's the ghost, so to speak.
He's a creation. No, they didn't want to pin it to anyone because of maybe exactly. Past histories or whatever the case may be, because we already established that.
Exactly. The pseudonymous person. But Arthur Brito allegedly still works and is connected at Ripple, and people have seen them. But the thing with him is he doesn't want the
media attention.
Exactly, the media attention, the fame. He likes his kind of private life and keeps it that way. So even though Arthur Brito is getting a lot of attention for everything that he's connected and brought to Ripple and established with XRP as being one of the people who founded that.
So, I mean, based off of the secrecy, I would say whoever that guy is, which could be anybody, really. I mean, Joe Katz has like 36 different names. We just know him by Joe Katz for Lord knows what. So,
absolutely.
Who's to say he's not Arthur Brittle? You know, like it's just a way of guarding whoever that person is. It could be Brad Garning, obviously. Like, it could be the bearable guy. Like, it could be anybody. It could even be a woman, you know?
Could be a group of people.
So I kind of want to narrow that down. I don't know if you want to focus on that, or maybe I know you did a little bit of research before. So what did you want to uncover? Did you uncover anything else other than the Satoshi Nakamoto?
And that was really one thing that kind of brought my attention because of our last show. To me, that was kind of like a little, it kind of gave the last show closure, you know what I mean?
It was really perfect because I think that's the answer that everybody was expecting, because you already got footage. You're running now. Now you're running and you have answers. You have years, you have dates, you have numbers, you have studies, you have too many coincidences happening. Honestly, it feels like they were like one big family back then, a group of them. And they decided, hey, let's do this. Kind of like the, you know, the whole Facebook and the social media situation, and how they portray it as like a movie, like a fictional whatever. You know, a group of friends got together and it was kind of like a social game.
Yeah.
Just to another level where they, I guess, to an elite level, you could say. I just say elite not based off conspiracy, but elite based off of opportunity at the time. That they could have taken advantage of, and maybe they decided, okay, let's do this and see where it goes, and that's where you got all these cryptos.
Move.
That's where you got all these cryptos from, right?
Yeah. So while we're talking, really quick, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm gonna pull up something that I think could connect to our discussion that we're having right now, if you don't mind.
No, it's fine. So my basis is that we're gonna move. From that to, in my mind, which is what everybody wants to talk about right now, because it's like the top hit right now, is Stellar. And we know that Ripple has something to do with it. So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the CEO of Stellar and move from there and kind of like connect the dots? Do you want to go to Brad Garlinghouse and see if we find any connection to anything? This was interesting, actually. The Pauly, I had no idea about it. You knew about this?
Yeah, for like I think 2 years. Guys, I think it came out in 2017. This. Yeah, I thought this was kind of like, I thought this was common knowledge here.
He kept it from me, guys.
I am sorry.
Put my cookies.
Well, my thing is, I mean, Dave has even been on stage. For example, I probably should have pulled that video. That's a good one. Have you seen the video of David on stage?
Go ahead.
I believe he's at a college, a university or something, where someone asked him in the audience about Pauly Sign, and he kind of like perks up and lights up, and he's like really excited about Pauly Sign, and then he cuts it short right after and says, you know, I really can't discuss it right now. But he's like, that was his baby. He's very proud of it.
But, so let's go to, I think.
Should I try to pull up that video really quick?
Your business idea. Yeah, I think. Pull it up. Pull it up. And it's on YouTube. Well, you would put.
You seen it? You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it. This is the first time I'm going to see it, obviously. But then we're going to look at the definition of poly. Because we never really touch base with the definition of ripple.
There it is right over. There.
Okay. Go ahead and play it for us.
Can you see this one okay? Let's see where this pops up. Let me. It's on Panda Ripples XRP.
Yeah, I don't know what it
is. Let me pause it for 1 second. Let me know if you can hear this. Can you hear that?
No. I mean, I can play it. I can actually.
But this is it's a really short video, like 36 seconds. Okay. And it's a really cool video. It doesn't go much into it, but he gets really excited very fast. And then he like has to calm back down, you know?
I'm trying to look, see
April 4, 2019. For some reason, I felt like this interview was, I thought it was a little bit older than that for some reason.
Well, what is the Pauly Sign project? I've never even heard of it. So why don't you like, does it make me look dumb that I haven't heard of it?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm a little embarrassed because I kind of thought everyone, like, I thought it was just common knowledge.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Some of us, you know, are missing some of this information. No, but honestly, I don't even know what the project's based on. Can you touch base on that? So at least for the people that don't know what Pauly is, Pauly Sign, because I haven't even heard it come out of anybody's mouth other than you.
Yeah, sorry. I'm on the edge of about to sneeze here. I'm trying to
get rid of it.
Trying to get rid of this thing. Basically, it's like institutional level of, let's see, does it even say? Oh, yeah, right on the front page. I'm trying to look through my notes. And it's right on the front page.
So, Pauly.
Institutional grade custody for digital assets.
Why are they holding a billion of XRP? I don't understand.
All right, now. Just tossing out the obvious, institutional grade, institution is wholesale.
Okay.
And that, to me, I connect right back. Obviously, they're doing Ripple, and their Ripple does what? XRP. David Schwartz obviously does Ripple. David Schwartz obviously does Pauly Sign. So again, you have that interwoven little basket, that mesh right there holding everything in. So again, you mentioned XLM. XLM, obviously, each digital asset is intended to do beyond its one singular like focus. It can do multiple. It can expand. It can scale.
This is becoming like a to me. it sounds crazy, but it sounds like they all got together at Ripple and they were like, okay, we got this. We can speed it up. Let's come up with a couple utilities and see where we go from there. Because David Schwartz, what do you think? Pauly, and then what do you think? Stellar, and then cross-border payments, XRP, and that's where they kind of went their own ways, and they're all interconnected, because if you think about it, XRP is just for the financial institutions. They don't want it to be in the hands of the people.
Exactly, that was the intent. Yeah,
correct. Chris Larson, which is what they say, that he got into an argument with the creator of Stellar. What's the, I always forget his name. What's the name of the?
Jed McCaleb.
Yeah, Jed McCaleb. Him. So supposedly they bumped heads, and Jed McCaleb didn't see what, you know, they weren't seeing eye to eye. But what did he create? They call him a co-creator, but a co-creator of what? The marketing side?
Which one? I'm sorry. Jed?
No, not Jed. Chris Larson. Because Chris Larson is a co-creator as well. People don't know that, but he is. So now you have I'm sorry, I'm talking really fast, but now you have David Schwartz, which is leading to Polly, which I had no idea this was going on. Arthur Brittle. What was Arthur Brittle's role in this entire thing? Was he managing all three utilities in the background, and that's why he doesn't want his identity shown, or what?
Now, that's where it gets a little tricky, too. I'm trying to breeze through my notes here while you're going through your conversation. Arthur Brito, which is it's a little interesting. If you go to Ripple and you know the history of any investor doing research, you find two of the main founders, co-founders of XRP is known to be Jed and here's where it gets really interesting. Are Jed and like David Schwartz, right? And you have Chris Larson as one of the founders.
You want to know one thing about Jed, though, that a lot of people don't know? You remember Gitmount, or it was the one of the biggest exchanges that got hacked for millions of dollars?
He
was
Mt. Actually, Gox.
Bro, look at this guy. That's why he's bomb.
Hey, this is a team effort here.
It is, and I appreciate it big time.
That's what's making this so much fun in my life,
all right? So anyway, he's a very brilliant guy. I mean, he sold that exchange before it got hacked and all that stuff.
Yes.
But, I mean, it kind of looks all played out. When did this Poly Sign Inc. start?
I believe it was 2017, if I'm not mistaken.
So recent.
But I will continue before we get too far, really quick.
Yeah.
Going back to the interesting thing. When you think of the founder or co-founders of Ripple, who do you think? It's not a trick question. Just.
Well, from what I know, Joe Katz, Arthur Brittle, and Chris Larson and Jed. I mean.
Okay, that's the standard thing. But a lot of people haven't heard of Arthur Brittle connected to founding. Like the Ripple XRP thing.
Well, he's like a shadow in the background. So
exactly. That was it. I would agree with that perfectly. But now, when you go into PolySign, mm-hmm. it lists Arthur Brito as the founder of Ripple XRP. It only states Arthur Brito, which is very interesting, because basically institutional grade custody that PolySign does is perfectly designed for XRP. And then my mind, the capacity and the ability, obviously it can hold anything, but my mind starts thinking back to that escrow. I know it's stated, it's locked forever, can only do $1 billion a month, and it's designed to do like for the next like 50 months or something like that.
Yeah, but
before all of the escrow's gone. But why would you design like PolySign, I'm sorry, you know?
Is that I haven't grasped what PolySign is. I mean, yeah, it says institutional grade custody for digital assets. I get that. What does that mean?
Well, that's where a lot of it, I mean, even in research, you can't find a lot of that out. It's kind of like, you can read what they tell you.
The biggest problem facing digital assets, the cryptography secret unlocks access to all funds. So it's kind of like a vault. Once the secret is stolen or lost, funds can never be recovered. So it's basically the 16-word phrase in a bigger setting, kind of like a vault. And then here, what is this? It explains money is gone in seconds with no recourse. Your funds could be anywhere, and you won't be you won't know who has them. With unlimited traction, what is that? What is it? Traction sizes?
Yeah, with unlimited traction sizes, hundreds of millions could be lost in an instant.
Okay.
And then let's just keep, we might as well just keep going through this.
Go ahead.
PolySign's digital asset custody platform is a step function above other solutions. Leading blockchain architects, Arthur Brito and David Schwartz, designed PolySign's solution for securing digital assets.
But digital assets at a big scale, correct?
In massive.
massive. So you're talking about whales, like, ugh.
Oh yeah, absolute whales for sure. Corporations. I mean, you're talking. It says institution. A lot of people. That's what I meant to finish. I'm sorry. I get a little excited. But the institution is the wholesale side.
Gotcha.
And a lot of people don't really know what that means. That's, you know, the, for example, governments, businesses.
Not everybody understands that concept. So, I mean, if you're going to talk
large amounts,
that's why I ask you these questions. I understand. But if I don't ask you the questions, we got viewers that don't understand. So,
no. And I'm trying to do the same when you're doing something too. I'm trying to think of them. And I think that you're amazing with that. You're doing excellent with that.
Appreciate it.
And the other thing too is the retail side, which a lot of the viewers, whether you may or may not understand, retail is like you and me. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the like the person to person, the regular standard, maybe small business, maybe
small scale.
I don't like to put the business in that, but retail is more like us, the real people, the natural people, the business that we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Where the big business falls under the wholesale or the institutional. So you have the two sides. You have retail and you have wholesale.
So it's kind of
go ahead.
So it's kind of like, just to put it into perspective so they can imagine it. It's kind of like when you compare a residential to commercial.
Exactly.
You're talking two perfect different scales, perfect. Right?
Perfect. Exactly. That was a perfect example. Residential, okay, and commercial.
So I don't want to keep interrupting. I mean, I just want to follow through. And that, I mean, to me, that's the image that you portrayed. In a level where people will get it, they will understand it, they see it. Okay, so let's continue with the PolySign was founded in 2017, right?
Yep. So it was 2017. That's what I was thinking, but
no, you were right.
So here's. Whoops, sorry about that. Whoa,
who's this guy?
You got excited on that thing.
Who's this guy?
This is scrolling through the thing. I don't know if this is gonna let me freeze it. Let me just check really quick. Let me see if it'll let me stop.
Jack McDonald. That guy seems like the owner of McDonald's, right?
I think I'm not gonna hold my breath, but it may have stopped it since I clicked on it. Let's just go. Actually, let's just update them. It's not gonna let me stop, but I think I can click back and forth at least to get through them. Antoinette Gorman. Let's go back to her if I can catch it. Sorry. Oh, where does she go? Antoinette Gorman, the chief compliance officer, and it's not gonna let me.
All right, let me see if I can pull it up here.
Oh, you know what? Here's Meet Our Team. Let me see if I can click on that. Our mission to build the global standard for institutional digital asset custody. And again, like in that video, we didn't get to play. I had sound on my side, but you said you couldn't hear it on yours, right?
Yeah, I couldn't hear it on mine.
And that's why he gets so excited about this.
Where it's is like, it?
But he can't talk. You know, he doesn't talk about it.
Is it on
your screen? It's on my computer screen right now.
Why don't you send me that link to my Twitter so I can pull it up, if you don't mind.
All right, let's see. Okay, give me 1 second. I will do it. If you want to, let me, you know what, go through that.
Go ahead while you do it. Okay. Our mission to build the global standard for institutions, digital assets, and custody. Founded in 2017, PolySign has luminaries in both the cryptocurrencies and financial services spaces, working to solve the biggest problem in crypto today, custody. Right?
Yep.
Boom. So let me see this picture. Let me see this picture real quick. I want to get an overview of we're paving the way for digital assets to become more mainstream, and we've got the team to do it. So mainstream in the sense that they can show everybody that they can hold the control within these vaults of like these huge amounts of assets, and they can release them at any time and they can trace them. Is that what it is? Well, let's read through the creators. Let's see what they are.
All right. Did we go through that part yet? You've read that part, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me bring that down a little bit. Hold on. I'll swipe up real quick. It'll be easier. Let's just go one at a time there. If you can breeze through those, I'll have this to you really quickly.
So Jack McDonald, CEO and a board member. Actually, yeah, it's because it looks smaller here, but it's okay. Prior to joining PolySign, Jack McDonald was CEO of the Conifer?
Yeah, Conifer.
Okay, the Conifer Financial Services for a decade, where he grew AUA from $5 billion to $125 billion, culminating in a successful exit in 2016 before Conifer Jack was the managing director and the head of the West Coast equities at UBS. Jack was named one of the 20 rising stars of hedge funds by Institutional Investor Magazine and inducted into Global Custodians Legends of the Industry. Sorry, it's just it looks smaller, so it's harder to read.
Yeah, no, I understand. Sorry.
But no, it's fine. So now we're going to go to Arthur Brittle. Arthur Brittle, co-founder Ripple, and designed the XRP Ledger. So wait a minute. Co-founder Ripple and designed the XRP Ledger. Okay, so what we're going to have to do on this one is that once we're done with this little article here, we're going to have to go into the XRP Ledger. Is that, yeah, we're going to have to do that because the definition of it and who really created it, because Arthur Brittle's like a secret. So we're going to see if we can find any other little crumbs in there, maybe a couple names. So that'll be cool.
All right, I finally got it to you. I apologize for taking so long.
No, you're good.
I don't want you to get confused. I did send you two. The first one is the full length video. It's like 51 minutes. Yeah, the second one is the short. I think it's cropped, the one I was going to play here. But for some reason, I don't think you had sound, you said, on your side.
Let me see if I can actually switch this. No, I would have to. Okay, no. So I'm going to go ahead and put the volume up. I don't know if you want to play the video while I put the volume up. And I'll tell you when to play exactly.
Oh, okay. I see. We kind of do it a partner here.
Correct. All right. 1, 2, 3, play.
I really wish I could answer that, but I'm under a non-disclosure agreement with PolySign, and because they're in stealth mode right now, I don't know what I'm allowed to tell you. I can tell you that they're in the custody business, and of course I can tell you that they're doing it like an amazing way that, you know, Arthur and I are behind this, we're the lead guys on the technology, and obviously like we're doing it, we think we're doing it right, but unfortunately I don't know what. I really wish I could tell you because it's so freaking cool. I'm busting with wanting to tell people what we did, and they're like, oh no, we're still in stealth mode, it's still non-disclosure, so unfortunately I cannot answer that question, but I feel really bad about it.
He gets so excited about it. That's so awesome. He's like a little kid.
Dude, we did good on that. It was lined up perfectly.
He's like a big, smart kid.
Which is, yeah.
It's crazy.
That is amazing.
You know, when he reads the ledger.
See, one thing I've always liked, I mean, we all find like different, like how we perceive people. I have always loved everything that David Schwartz says because he simplifies it. You know, it's when you read into it and you understand everything that's going on. It's kind of complex, but he simplifies it so that a kid can even understand when he explains it in his conversations. I'm so hooked when he's on stage. Like I can't even like, it's like, I don't want to blink. It's no, so exciting to me to listen to, you know, even BG on a different level. Like the two of them Ripple did amazing. They're good at speaking.
I like him to the point where, only when he really is in front of people and trying to communicate with the, you know, the non-alien. Because when he's alone and he's kind of like explaining or reading, his whole his whole persona just changes. Because you just see like to me, when I first saw him reading the ledger, the stablecoin that
on his video YouTube.
Yes. It's
yes,
like,
yes, yes.
All I saw was like him processing everything. And it was like, you know, like you watch the video 13 times and you're just like, what, dude? Like you went through that in like 10 minutes and I didn't get not one thing you said, you know? And I mean, it just his facial expression, like he's just like, it's just processing and processing and processing. And he's reading the ledger. So he's like, he's explaining a million miles an hour. But how many projects has this guy been in? I mean, you're talking about 1988. He takes out a patent, like, oh yeah, I'm smart, so let's patent, right?
Yeah,
then,
absolutely.
He goes and he joins this team. Prior to that, he was working for the NSA, right? NSA. So NSA. Then he comes out with patent. Then he goes into Ripple, right? They call him. They that's it. He's the idol, right?
Trillion. If I'm not mistaken, really quick, right there.
Okay.
I believe he came in through OpenCoin, which became Ripple.
Excuse me. Hello. Good morning. can you explain OpenCoin? What is that?
Okay. Do you know OpenCoin?
Obviously not.
Okay. OpenCoin was the first. I don't want to go into all the history because I don't want anyone at Ripple upset if I misrepresent something.
Well, no, we could actually look it up. Why don't you look it up? Pull it up. We already saw the David Schwartz video. We might as well pull it up, right?
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead. Boom. OpenCoin was basically where it all began, which is OpenCoin is what people know today as Ripple.
We need to hear this, guy. We need to hear this.
Okay.
I didn't know.
Again, it's one of those moments of like Polysign, I guess.
Yes.
Let's go.
So let's see. OpenCoin and Poly. So if you guys knew about this, please let me know. I might be outdated. I might have been in Mars or something, but I didn't know that that was the beginning. So we're going to look up the information just to make sure that we're not wrong or we're not just talking to talk. And that's why I wanted him to back it up and look for information on it. OpenCoin. Ripple users can send.
Oops, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Didn't.
Can send payments to Bitcoin addresses. OpenCoin.
And the reason that seems a little confusing, OpenCoin is today what people know as Ripple. Ripple is what people know today as XRP.
You just blew my
mind. This is where it gets a little confusing. And even David Schwartz has always said he really enjoyed when XRP was called Ripples with an S.
Yeah, Ripple.
OpenCoin became that. Ripple. And that's where, see, a lot of people who've been into this for a while. I've been in, you know, I followed them since they began. So that's where a lot of people who've been in it as long, like for a while, a few years, get confused and they'll call Ripple XRP, and then the new people get all frustrated. They're like, stop calling it XRP, Ripple. It's not Ripple. It's XRP.
Yeah.
But when people have been here a while, that's what it was called.
What about?
So the reason they get tongue-tied and confused is because they're like, oh yeah, I forgot. We changed the name. That's like some people still call it OpenCoin. They're like, I mean Ripple. But then they feel uncomfortable calling today's company Ripple because that was what the currency was called. And then that's when they had those little issues. I don't want to go into that.
No,
and
you should go
into today's lawsuit. It
doesn't matter. You should go.
It makes me a little, I don't want anyone at Ripple upset if I misrepresent something because they're kind of in that lawsuit now from all of this craziness.
Well, no, that's
in my opinion, I call it craziness because, I mean, I don't know. I'll leave my opinion out of that, of today's lawsuit. No. I mean, right that's now, what the judges right are for.
You want the news now. No, I'm kidding, guys.
But I mean, that's kind of how it all began. And, you know, there was it a security? Was it a currency? And then there were some issues. And then OpenCoin became Ripple. And Ripple had Ripples. And people were getting too confused. And then they changed Ripples to XRP. So then people were like, wait a second. Ripple? No. That's the currency. The company? That's OpenCoin. No. That's called Ripple. So it was such a little, like a confusion box that they change. Okay, it's not going to be the same anymore. Ripple's a company, like people call now Ripple Labs, to give it that additional, like Ripple Labs, that's the company. And then XRP is the currency.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but.
No, interrupting time. Stop me.
I'm just going to draw it out. So we got Ripple, right? Then we have XRP. Hmm. Right? And then this is what's Ripple Labs, because Ripple Labs is not the same thing as Ripple.
Yeah, and that's where it's a little tricky too, because there are a couple different things going there today.
So explain that to us detail by detail so that the people watching us are a little more informed about what the difference is between Ripple Labs, and XRP, and how they all come together. So Ripple is initially what you said prior to that. It started as OpenCoin, which we're not going to dig in. We are going to dig in, but another day. So OpenCoin, and then,
you know, while we're talking about this, you're taking notes. Let me just see, this article may actually explain it perfectly. Let me just breeze through.
Go for it.
Cause I grabbed the first one. I've never read this article. So, but again, the add back to David Schwartz, he said a few times that he preferred, he really liked, I'm not going to go back exact wording. I don't want to. You know, I'm frustrated with me either. But he said in a few interviews that he really liked when it was called Ripples because it has a million drops. So when you drop something into the water, it had a million ripples.
Correct.
And that was kind of he really liked that, the connection there. He'd always said a few times. But
as investors, it's actually better that it had become XRP, because when you start going into currencies and value,
and values, yes,
X means not country related.
Correct.
XAU, and you have XAG, you have your gold and your silver. They're not country bound or nation bound. They're
You have to go. You have to follow rules. Just with currency, you have to follow rules. And if you want to be decentralized, you have to put a specific number, letter, thing. Like, that's why they're all based off like BTC or XRP and things like that. You have to do that because they come from nowhere, supposedly.
Exactly. And this, to me, is kind of how you started the discussion tonight, which I know my mind's kind of like bouncing all over. But that's, again, we started with XLM, you started XRP, and we got into the discussion. But to me, it's all still kind of the same discussion. It's all part. You can't pull something apart and know the whole story. You push everything together, and then you get the full picture. But again, going back to the gold, XAU, and you have your XAG for your, like, your gold, your silver, you have XRP, you have XLM, and those are specific for that reasoning. Even if you go back to the beginning of Stellar, I'm not going into that issue for today. I think that's probably a whole other show. But going into this, it was for, you know, reason. You have the X. It means not, you know, as a bad example, not country related, not country connected. It's not, XRP is not China, it's not USA. Something can be, but at the same neutral, time, stating neutral. That. It's exactly, neutral. Country neutral is probably a good way to explain for someone to understand.
Yes.
That's a perfect example, perfect
word. Actually, because I've done my research on that, because I've researched what is the meaning of XRP, the sign, which sign goes way back, and it's like, I can't really describe it at the top of my head right now, but we can look the definition definitely. And I have it, I think, pinned to my account, actually. I'll go ahead and send you that later on so you can take a look at it and we talk about it. But you're basically breaking it down to the point where it's all mashed potatoes, really, because you have to kind of bring it all.
Sorry.
You have to bring it all up in little pieces so that people gain the concept of how they're all interconnected, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. And everything does interconnect. And even here, a new person, when they, let's go for this article again, just to kind of
go for it.
Refresh history. You know, some, you have like, I still call the people FUDsters. That just, it makes sense to me. It doesn't matter if they're supposedly in this community or out of it in another community. If they love it, if they hate it, if they're putting negative, to me, that's a FUDster. I don't care what it is. They're a FUDster. That's not new news. Why are you posting old news?
Because
then they'll do the same to make a point.
Yeah, there's people that haven't been here for 3 years or 4 years. Like, I've been here for 3 years and I didn't know about OpenCoin. I've been here for 3 years and I didn't know about Poly. Well, does that make me a criminal? Does that make me like a person that doesn't know anything or I shouldn't be on YouTube? Like, no. Everybody's entitled to their own train of thought and let everybody be themselves. If somebody asks a question, you don't just jump on them and call them a retard. No, you give them the opportunity to express themselves so that you can give them an answer. Just because maybe they might have been wrong doesn't mean you got to jump on them. Oh, you're crazy, bro. Like, go. That's not the right way to go about it. Because this is a market where everybody's learning. We're the 1%ers, right? That's what they say.
Exactly.
Well, what happens with mass adoption? We're gonna have a bunch of re-reads all over the place. No, it's just people that don't have the knowledge of cryptocurrency, period.
Exactly.
But we got to get used to this because not everybody has that train of thought and we got to respect it, but we don't have to deal with it, period.
Exactly.
I just wanted to add that. So go ahead and...
No, that was perfect. And I thank you for adding that. That was very important. I think it needs to be understood. You know, I want to add to that just before I go into the point of this, the Ripple really quick. I had a discussion, a private direct message from someone earlier. And the entire reason, just to give a little history of me, to know the past is to know the future. Hold on 1 second. My throat's drying out.
You want me to XRP you some water or what?
You don't mind. It'll be very quick.
A couple drops.
But to, it was kind of similar to what you just said. I had a private message with someone and they're like, man, there's so much. Why is there so much hate from people, even in the title of their name, which even CKJ has mentioned. So it's pretty cool to, not cool about the people, but it's pretty cool that people are beginning to see this, that there's a lot of fake people, because don't trust the name. Trust what they say, because a lot of people can do what they call like a character. It's called a character assassination.
or they don't know someone, they don't care to know someone, they just destroy that person's credibility to people who don't even know them. And then people start hating them and they have no legitimate stance on why.
And you know
what? Oh, you know, this person said that and I trust that person. I'm not going to even question. I'll blindly believe them. But if they would question that the way they question that stranger, then they would see that everything that was a misleading, it was a misinterpretation for whether it was a good or bad intent to be negative or positive.
Correct.
But
the sad part about this whole thing is that people are embarrassed to even reach out and ask a question because they think they're going to look bad. And that's wrong. So exactly I'm here to tell you.
Exactly right.
And you can ask anybody that's tried to reach out to me to ask me a question. If you have a question and you feel like, oh, I can't ask because it's dumb. No question is dumb. You didn't. Okay. First of all, when you were born, you didn't know how to read. You were laying on your back and you didn't move your arms or your head or nothing. So there's a basis to learning. You start from scratch and then you get to where you need to be. There's no stupid question. If you have a question, you ask. So don't let pride or anything like that get it. Don't let it, how do you say that, intimidate you?
Exactly. Well said. Well said.
You follow the right people because just like you're learning, I'm learning. I have more experience, but I can give that experience to you as best I can. You know, there's only so much we can do, and that's understandable. But I respond to everyone, and you can ask anybody that follows me directly. You can check my comments. I comment even if it's a comment that you would consider negative, I still respond to it, and I explain to you, hey, look, what's the reason for that? Why do you think that? I don't just like ignore it because everybody deserves some sort of recognition. There's a reason why that person's like that. Now,
exactly,
let's not shift too far from it. And go ahead, Dad. Just wanted to put that in there.
I'll finish mine. I didn't mean to, we keep getting so caught up, but I think the reason that we do and other content providers get a little bit passionate about this point, I think it's actually worth stopping like the information for a second to make a point, because like you said, there are new people watching. They don't know the difference. And if they go, let's say, for example, a lot of the YouTube, like our content, all of us content providers, we typically are going to use other outlets. The biggest one, and for example, in my source, probably half of mine and half of any other content provider, the promoting of your channel and the communicating of people, because you can't do it on YouTube, is through Twitter. So a lot of new people are coming through there and finding Twitter or vice versa. And like you said, they're getting so intimidated because they ask a question. Because here's my thing. Let's go back to the beginning. The whole reason I started my channel is because of this. You know, I'm going to give CKJ the credit with that. He kept saying, you know, you got some information, share it, start a channel. I'll promote you.
He got me with that too. I mean, CKJ is a bomb. I'm telling you.
He is. I don't care what the community says. Look at around the community. Arthur, I'm going to speak for me personally.
Arthur Brittle. Look, Arthur Brittle. And he just branched us off because honestly, most of the content creators that are in the space right now were brought up with his boost of incompetence because he was the beginning of it. And it all started with him making small little videos. And I saw his back in the day videos and they're funny. They're super funny.
Yeah.
But to how far he's gotten and how he can take something so small and make it, so, like I said, everybody makes mistakes in life. Everybody's made them and not everybody's proud of them.
Yeah.
But it's already out there. Everything that ever happened, whatever, but it doesn't matter. Point is, we move on from that. And look how many people are flourishing. Look at Venture, you, me, Viking, Catherine, Peru. Like everybody is just like within our own circle. Like we all like build each other up. And then we have like Deshaun and we have Alcoin and we have, you know, One Real Freak. And that's just the basic group that pretty much lifts everybody up, and we kind of like make that, we earn that respect between each other. You know, people try to rip that apart because if I want to ask Alcoin something, I'll go straight to him and I'll ask him. I don't care that I have 3 years in the market. I'm not embarrassed. If I don't know something, I don't know something, right?
Yeah.
And that's why the Bullish family, that's why I always say Bullish family number one. Yeah, number one, because we can resort to them for anything and they don't judge. They're not like, oh, look at this guy, bro. Like, no.
Yeah.
There's no need for that.
There's no man, there's no woman, there's no old, there's no young, there's no skinny, there's no heavy. Yes. It's just a little community family right there for the support for investing. But the short thing, I keep getting sidetracked. I apologize again. I'll go straight to the point and be done with this. A lot of people they get frustrated. Okay, so like in my direct message today,
I get a few of these, but I'm going to be specific. I'm not going to name name because obviously that's confidential private. But this person had written me, and they're very intelligent. They're very successful. They're very financial. Like, they're doing really well on a normal standard for anyone's standard. This person directly wrote me, and they were concerned because there were a couple of FUD art. Again, you know my keyword FUD, F-U-D. Fear, uncertainty, doubt. To me, someone who puts negativity, that's creating fear, uncertainty, doubt. To me, negative is in the FUD category. We're investors. It doesn't matter what level. If you invest, if you have one XRP or if you have 1 million or 1 billion XRP, it's on percentages. It is what it is. So to me, FUD is a negative. Someone's negative, just call it FUD. I don't need to label it and break it down and cause additional stress or thought with me. It just throws it in a sense of the paper shredder. When I see FUD, boom, paper shredder. It goes into my mind in that category. This person wrote me today. There were two or three different articles from, you know, credible sources that all of us have shared as in positive stuff, but they were written so much. This person said, should I be concerned? Should I sell all my XRP? Is this thing, you know, are we okay? And I said, you know, give me a second. Like, let me read the articles and then respond. After reading the first one, I was like, oh my goodness. But again, understanding that we do so many hours of research every day, every week, every month, every year, that we have so much that in my mind, like the FUD that comes out is actually more of a confidence booster, but I know my level of research is completely different. The knowledge I have of this community is so much different than somebody who's new or somebody, even if they've been here a while, they said, oh man, this is a good opportunity. I want to dump money in this. One day it's going to be huge. I'm just going to sit there and hold it. That person doesn't have time to research, or that person doesn't care to research. They just saw an opportunity, which is really what this whole thing is about, the great wealth transfer. And a lot of people don't realize in the great wealth transfer, in my category, my mental thought with that is a two-part deal. You have the great wealth transfer. What part of that is meaning is you have the millennials coming into an inheritance, literally, of the greatest wealth in the history of mankind, transferring into the millennial generations, you know, their bank accounts, their inheritances, the money they're going to start having.
That was amazing. That was amazing. You sounded like you just, like, I don't know, like you just saw a bull running by or something. Because, like, wow, you guys got that? This is DAD speaking. He's all sounds like Kobe. It's coming from this guy. Look at him. Look how happy he is. I love it. All right, you can continue. Sorry, I had to say.
Yeah, man, I don't mean to. That, like, I think what it is.
Everybody needs to hear it. You're here to support the community as much as they support you. So if you feel like you need to say something, you say it because it's for them, period.
And I think, okay, here's the short end of my thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. After going through all the articles, I got back to this person. I said, here, I'm going to break down every line. You know, it's going to be like basically almost like a mini novel, but I broke down all of the things that I thought were critical that would cause that FUD. And I wrote it back and it said, here's the real meaning of that. And then the person at the end was like, wow, thank you. Like, they could see like through my eyes for that moment and realize that those articles were just FUD. A thing that gets me, I think, so much is the sympathy, empathy, whatever. I've earned, like, not to go into me for a minute, but just to make a point, I've earned my way through life and to the point where I didn't have like that helping hand. Right. But I've been on the very, very bottom, and I've been on the very, very top of earning that. And I've chose a handful of times, like a Dalai Lama said, count your successes in your sacrifices. It's not so much the income, but on what you've sacrificed to where you are today.
So your time, pretty much.
Exactly. Like you, for example, you have the opportunity to take this money or you take that right choice. That's a sacrifice. But the point is with me, I think finance is such a big thing for people. Let me take a quick sip and I can get directly to the point.
Well, finance isn't easy to understand when you come from, because really, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but
No, go right ahead. Anytime. You know, we're a team here.
The financial side of it, it's really not people's fault. The system was kind of built for us to believe, in my opinion, guys, for us to follow a specific, there's a limit towards what we can do. You go to school, you earn an education, and you get a job, right? They don't really teach you money. They don't really teach you to listen. All those things come from your family. So if your family completely thinks differently, then you'll be on the right path in that scenario where it's the financial scenario. But if they all think, we can't do this because of this. No, we can't do this because of this. No, you're eventually stopping yourself or stopping that thought of abundance and being able to do more. Okay. So
that's true.
It's really based on your background. Now, it's very hard to get out of that. And this is why poverty, a high percentage that lives in, let's say, an area of poverty, they find it so difficult because it's a way of life. Now, there's others that are not like that, that have had to pick themselves up and made a decision to leave that behind. But that has to be on you. You kind of have to leave your comfort zone in that scenario. So that's kind of what he's breaking down now. And I just wanted to mention that so people get an understanding, because he went through a hard time. He decided to pick up his bags and go. I've been through hard times. I don't want to stay behind. I want to keep moving forward. So I hang out with DAD because I know he's giving me positive feed. And I hang out with, any other example that you can give. But it's always people that want to see you doing better. Want to see you doing good. Not the people that want to hold you back. Like you're excited. Oh man, look, I found this out. And I really want to invest it in. I have the information. Oh my God, that's a scam. Right there, they could shut you down or you can keep going.
Exactly.
So you got to follow what's in here. And then eventually it'll fall into place. When you seek something, you find it. You know, just when it's there in front of you, don't hesitate and don't pull back because you think, oh, it's never going to happen. You're never going to get nowhere like that. So you got to get out of your comfort zone. So go ahead, Dad. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. And then the final point of that is, the thing that has, for me, is such a passion, is such a drive, and it's such a like a defense or a protective mechanism, is when I see that happening, the manipulation of somebody who crushing that excitement and killing that drive to better somebody's self or to destroy that opportunity. Because what they're really doing is destroying hope, because that item right there has become that person's hope. For example, like a lot of us got into XRP because we understood the opportunity, the hope, the potential that this could do to change us, to change our family, to change even the family name for generations. The potential is there. But my final point is, when somebody is earning their way, making a point, they've worked those hours. They can never, ever, ever get those hours back. So if somebody's out there creating FUD and destroying that person's hope, now what they've done is they've taken that time that they were paid and that value for that paycheck to be able to invest in that hope and that opportunity. You're doing more than crushing that person, or let's say they're doing more than crushing that person. They're crushing their hopes. They're crushing their dreams. They're crushing their mental value of themselves by destroying that person's that opportunity for them to change their life, to better their family, to do more for their husband, or do more for their wife, or do more for their children. You know, even a light skit, you may not even have them. Do more for your dogs or your cats, you know? Some people, like, literally, they don't have family, so that's what they have. But then they still have a dream for that. I know, you know, some people is going to think that's silly, but if that's that person, to them, it's not silly. But they just want to do better. For them, they've worked those hard hours, those 40 hours, 60 hours, 80 hours, 120 hours. Man, the current business I started now, I wouldn't believe it's possible. I was working for 23 hours a day, sleeping for an hour, not even quite the hour. To one point, my wife said, look, you've got to stop, because if you die building this business, what good is it, what you built? Because the business is going to close down.
And we won't, but wait, not only that, what about our daily news?
I mean, I'm talking the business specific. I'm going on 14 years. 14 years. So it's pretty much past that. But for 18 months, I went through what you wouldn't believe is possible. My point is that there are people like that who are working those time. And this is the hard-earned money that they have saved aside. They've put in, they've invested in this. For example, another direct message, this person has said, actually, this wasn't even a direct message. It was on my open feed, on my Twitter feed. This person said, look, I've been holding for 2 years. I'm not going to go the name. I mean, he put it there for the world to see so anyone could actually go on my feed and they could see that.
Was it me?
But he said, look, I've been invested for, no, not you. Okay. He said, I've been invested for 2 years. I'm done. I really expected by now, you know, that something would have happened out of this. Instead of going up, it went down. This person was over. And then there were actually people, literally, again, it's not, this specific one wasn't even private. People beneath responded like, look, I don't mind being mean. Sell everything that you got. Get out of this. Stop crying. This guy's like reaching out to a content provider.
That's not the way to do it.
And then people were so cruel, immediately responding to them. I cannot comprehend that.
The one thing I'm going to tell everyone is if you have something to say where it's something drastic like that, and you want to reach out to a content creator because you're unsure of that, do it through a DM. I mean,
well said.
Honestly,
well said.
You want to keep things like that private because you know that people are malicious and they're like viruses. They stick to these things because everything's about social media blows up when there's something negative happening. People look for that. Oh God, I need my likes and I need my, no, like don't go into this with the view of social media at the top of your head. Forget about all that. You came in here to invest. You came in here to learn. The only reason why I did a Twitter was to see what's going on in the market. Then obviously CKJ pulled me in, then Peru and everybody. I grew like this group of knowledge and incredible people that have accomplished so much. And, you know, I'm honored to be in here. Everybody has their own unique skill and everybody defends themselves within their own reach. You know, like they don't let you fall. If they see that you haven't been on in a couple of days, they'll call you, hey, are you okay? Like, wow, really? You know, there's some family members that don't even do that. So it's really big when it comes to specific people and things like that. So always, you know, take the FUD with a grain of salt and don't listen to it. If you're unsure of something, ask somebody. But somebody that you can ask on a personal level, somebody you made a relationship with, a friend, somebody that you can say something to and doesn't go out and like, oh, okay, go kill yourself. Like,
yeah, that's pretty,
you know, and
pretty much pretty hard,
but that's how it is. I don't even look for that anymore. If I see fun, I leave. If I see like drama, I leave. There's no reason for me to get into it. There really isn't. Yeah, if you feel that way, if you feel like you need to say something, just point them my way. Hey, look, go to that guy. He'll give you an answer, right? Direct them the other way. You're going to do less damage. I mean, you're going to do more damage writing all that nonsense when you don't know what that person's going through. What if that person has a gun in their hand and they're about to blow their brains out? This is their last hope. Like, you don't know. You don't know. You're not looking at them in person. That's just in general. And I'm glad we actually touched the subject and we got out of the whole what we were actually touching base with, because this is important. And thank you, Dad, for bringing it up, because I've seen it a lot. I've been dying to talk about it. And you kind of nipped it in the bud. I'm pretty sure whoever's watching has seen it happen. And whoever doesn't really like it, then that's fine. But it needs to be said, because at least for me, I have a lot of new followers that follow me because I'm genuine. So if you need to say something, like I was telling Dad, forget about the video. Forget about all that. We're here for a reason. We're here to build a community. We're here to build something that's going to progress, something that we go to get away and learn, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the whole reason we do it.
So I thank you, Dad, for bringing this up. And it's important. They need to hear it.
I didn't mean to draw it out so far, but I you know, it was just one of those things. It's on my chest. It's like, you know, this is a perfect moment.
How long have you been seeing this?
Which part? Well, our discussion, our current discussion?
Yeah, the viciousness and all that. How long have you
been? Oh, man, ever since I went onto Twitter.
why would you say that this is so long? There's so many people out there that need to hear.
I don't know. It's the first time, you know, and my channel, you know, just in case this is your first time meeting Perez and I, GXRP Perez and I,
My channel is 3 months. On the 6th of, let's see, what month are we in? January. February 6th will be our 4th month. So we kind of went, I'm not exactly sure, a little, I think maybe a couple of days, maybe a week or two. I'm not even sure the exact, how it syncs up with our Twitter. Mm-hmm. But the only reason it initially began for us with Twitter is because to talk to you or other content providers, you couldn't really do it through YouTube. So the only reason I actually opened a Twitter is to be able to talk to other content providers, because that was the only way to message them, to speak to them or talk to them if there was a conversation, or if somebody wanted you on your show or you wanted them on your show or whatever. And then it only began from there. It's like, you know, well, let's just share content. Oh my goodness. So like instantly, it's like so much. I'm trying to think positive on this one. It's like so much negativity. I think that's probably the kind word to put it right now. But, you know, from our channel, I can probably speak for you. You're probably almost like, you know, it's probably the same mentality. It's probably why we get along so well. I mean, there's no negativity on mine. And I was even attacked, you know, when I first opened my Twitter page. Me personally, attacked. This guy doesn't even know me.
And what did I tell you? I know. I even saw it.
I mean, this is crazy. But I was attacked for being kind.
Yeah.
This person is like, oh, what are you, like the saint? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, the only reason I started this channel is so I could help other people.
I think
like,
you're the
defeat the FUD. And this guy attacks me for the entire reason I start my channel. So I learned like right away, if there's negativity, you know, I'm not even going to play around with that. It's just, it's going to be a block. I've only blocked 3 people. But, and I didn't personally take offense to them. The reason they were blocked is because they were being cruel to people looking for help on my channel. So again, that's why I think it became such a big like issue for me. Like to, you know, I don't mean to put it this way. It's not, but basically defending the people who came to my channel.
Of course. No, it's your territory. It's your channel. They shouldn't be,
you know what I mean?
Harassing them on your channel. I understand the whole concept. That's
but that was it. It wasn't so much what they said to me. I didn't take personal offense because I'm like, man, they're so wrong on like their description of me. It wasn't even offensive.
When they
started attacking other people who were seeking help, like, I don't know where to turn. Like, is this going to work? Oh my gosh. If it's going to crash, I want to take my loss now and just be moved on. And again, here, I'm speaking at this very second for, you know, Perez and I. We're not financial advisors. We can't really give you financial advice. Mm-hmm. You know, again, the cliche, we're here for entertainment purposes only. But beyond that, what we're doing is sharing our knowledge. We're researching, sharing you know, everything that we speak, even like Perez said, you know, not that I doubt you, but let's pull it up. So even I can, you know, have a greater trust in you. But that's the whole point. You know what I mean?
How did we meet? And when we met, how did the whole thing go? I forgot how it happened. So if you can pinpoint exactly when, because I know we just started having small conversations and you asked me questions and I kind of just jumped in. And a lot of people that are on this CKJ stream, they know, they reach out to me. I've called people on New Year's that need help, you know?
Oh, okay. I got an answer for that. Were you going into that or did you want me to respond to how I met you?
I wanted you to respond.
Okay. I actually hearing you go into that actually reminded me exactly how we met. I'd been an investor for a little bit on a small scale because when I first came in, let's go with the XRP specific. I came in obviously through Bitcoin and then I had Litecoin, I had Ethereum, only through research. I have a friend in the USVI, United States, Virgin Islands. He said, hey, look, there's a coin that's coming out. My buddy's like a huge investor. He's made a lot of money and he's very successful. He said, there's a coin that's coming out. It's going to be on the market through Ripple. He's like, just search Ripple. I don't know the coin off the top of my head. He's like, you'll find it. And at the time, that was where the whole transition of them coming through. And it was like a process. If you're new today, you can take your pick. You know, not supporting someone, not getting paid by anyone, but say Binance or say Coinbase. It's a one-click thing. If you're coming in today, you can go, oh, that, perfect. This exchange. I can download the app. Yes. One click. It's connected to my bank to buy. It's connected to my bank to sell. It's a one click.
When we came in the market, we had to figure out the exchange and nobody helped you because nobody really knew about this stuff.
Yeah, there was nobody to turn to. It took you figured it out or you didn't figure it out. That's your two choices.
It took me 2 weeks to get 400 XRP, and now I do it at in a second. Yeah, they tax you and they fee you, but that is the price of convenience.
Period. Oh, convenience, absolutely. Absolutely. Just and overall, when you know the like where it's headed, it's really minimal. I don't do the trading. I'm totally amazed by the TA people who get it right. I'm totally amazed by the people who did the day trading. Like, I don't know all the technical terms for trading. It's not my thing. But I am blown away by the people who do amazing at it. It's not, again, because it's not my thing. I'm just overwhelmed and excited to see them as if it were me. I'm like, oh my gosh, you did it. That's amazing. It's exciting. I'm in for long term. From the day I got in, my deadline was like 2025. That's, I was just holding for that period. That was my thing. And I'm excited to see the Ripple team saying 2020, it's going to begin. And so much, again, let's going back to the point we was making. When Perez and I were coming in, I mean, literally when I first come in, there was a 12-step process. It was not like a one click. It was a 12-step process.
It was crazy.
To be able to get your coin, transfer it, and then bring it back and put it in your storage. And you even know back then.
And that, and try to figure out which exchange actually has it. When you're in a world that you don't know pretty much anything. So you could go into the wrong exchange, make the wrong deals, do the wrong. Bro, I don't even know. It was so difficult for me because I don't even want to revert back to it because it was like, I was breaking my head with it. I was breaking my head. And then I signed up to like six different exchanges. Like I promise you, I got so angry that I said, one of these exchanges is going to be the one, and Kraken and Binance. Those were my two first, Kraken and Binance. I didn't ship from those. And in Kraken, all you saw was like little Chinese numbers. And it was like, oh, a Ripple. And I was just like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? And then I figured it out. But that's what we had to put in.
You know? Oh man, it was not easy. Like if you're coming in today, you have no idea how easy you've got it right now. It's a, you know, again, a one-step thing. There's at least some kind of security. And if I'm not mistaken, Binance and Coinbase are the only two that I'm aware of that even have some kind of a insurance like your bank. I forget the limits off the top of my head. I just remembered like, oh, they have it. And it's so much nicer. And even the price right now, I know a lot of people are frustrated, but if you're coming in right now, you're coming in at amazing prices that a lot of people didn't even get. And I mean, it's amazing.
We got such a long bear market that a lot of people just get, like, they said, you know what? I'm going to stay with my coin, but it was just so long and so harsh. Like, you know, when they say, oh, winter is coming. Like, yeah, like that. It was kind of like that. Like, oh, like, freaking forget about it. I got frustrated. I left for a year. I lost a ton of money. Tough. I passed the first bull run. The one where XRP shifted all the way up. I lost that opportunity because I wasn't paying attention to it at all. But know one thing. If you are not on top of your coins, let's say you do decide to get out. If you're not on top of it, the day it boosts through the roof, no, you're not going to find out about it. You're not going to read about it. Nobody's going to tell you about it. That's just the way the market works. I had no idea that the market blew up. I could have made a ton of money and it just shifted and then it went bear market again. Whoop, and I was done. I was cashed out. I lost so much money, but do I care? No, not really. It's a mistake that you learn from, you intake and you move on. But I wouldn't like to see other people go through that. So that's just me personally. And this is the reason why we're touching base on this.
Yeah. And then to get into that with the, if you were in it for long enough, you didn't know if it was going to be illegal. You were kind of like a little scared, like, okay, I'm holding this coin. Are the government's going to say it's illegal? Am I going to find out that it is legal?
Well, How do I store this thing?
How do I protect this thing? Now today, I mean, it's legal and everyone, governments all over the world are like, yeah, it's here to stay. Everything's blockchain. We know it's not going anywhere. But that as one of the beginning guys, you're like, should I get a lot? Should I get a little? I mean, if I get a lot, does that mean I'm going to serve more jail time? Like, you don't know. And then you're like, oh God, thank God it was legal.
No, my biggest excitement was the Ledger. The Ledger Nano, when it first came out, it was like, that blew up my head. I was like, I need one. Oh God.
Yeah.
And I got it. I was so excited. I was like, I was more excited for that than the crypto. It was crazy.
Yeah. And then to shorten the story, doing all of that, not having anywhere to go, like Perez said, not having anywhere to turn. You don't have anywhere to help because no one's doing it. Who are you going to talk to? You're the only one that knows about it. No one in your family knows. No one of your friends know. And we talked to them. They're like, oh, that sounds like a scam to me. You have nowhere to turn.
So either way, I started searching after a few years, and that's when I stumbled on a couple of content providers, and then there was a huge like drama in the community, and people were saying this about the person, people were saying that about the person. You know, you come in, you don't know anyone, so now you're hearing names in the argument, so you're like, oh, you know what, I'll check them out. I didn't even know that people were even having YouTube videos or someone out there even knew about it besides me. So now that's kind of how I stumbled on, and I had met you, Perez. There was a lot of drama going on, so I check out everyone that the name that I heard in the little the drama, basically, to find out like, okay, do they know more people, or is there more people besides these guys who know? And it found me to XRP. And I was like excited, man. There's like, oh great, there's some kind of a crypto like digital asset community. Maybe they'll learn something that I didn't know, or at least talk to someone and share my feelings or like my fears or whatever.
The only thing you
and
can
then going into the live stream, yeah. And I think it was CKJ's probably where I met you. And literally, I've been in a couple other streams, and I think at the time there was only two. There was Alex Cobb and like CKJ Crypto News. At the beginning, those are the only two that I'm even aware of for XRP at the time.
The two
different streams are like night and day. Like, I like Alex, and I'm kind of biased. Obviously, I've been skating like professionally for half my life. And he was like, oh, talking about skateboarding. I'm like, oh, I'm hooked. I like this guy. He's Southern California. He skateboards. I like this guy.
You stick to what you can really stick to. Yeah, very
so, so at the time, I mean, obviously, there's the two major guys. So I went into the other stream. And for me, they were both the same. I didn't know any of them, obviously. And I'm like, whoa, this guy's really passionate. Like the stream, everybody's like friendly. This is crazy. So, you know, you kind of watch both of the shows and you get hooked on one. And I think something came up, like you commented in the stream and I was like, oh, this guy's pretty cool. Let me say what's up. And then we kind of like back and forth, and you watch a couple shows and say hi again another time. And then we start talking and we're like, oh, cool. Hey, let's talk, man. Let's get to, you know, kind of build a friendship, like a little family there, you know.
Was,
and then
it was simple,
step by step,
simple step by step. And not only that, it was like it just came natural. I mean, I don't push anybody away. I've never done that. I'll just tell you to what extent, like, your power is to a specific extent, you know. And if I know something, I'll tell you, hey, okay, I'm gonna do my research because I have read about it, I know about it, blah blah blah. But if I have no idea about it, I'll tell you, like, hey, I don't know. I don't own this product. I've never looked into it. It's just a matter of being completely honest and not shifting them the wrong way, you know, being genuine. Give without expectation. If you want to give somebody something, you give it to them, but don't expect anything in return. A lot of people have that expectation for some reason. And I'll leave it to you. I just wanted to put those little details in there.
Yeah, I'm done. I think they get the point of that, and I kind of feel like that's off my shoulders. It's just basically, if you're new to this, the Twitter world, that's not a normal world. That's its own little universe. don't judge anything by there. I mean, I've seen more negativity there than anything in my life. It's not even normal. It's not even natural, the things I've seen there. And I think a lot of it is too, the thing that I see with Twitter is you have the keyboard warriors. They hide behind the anonymity of the internet. They would probably not even talk to someone they hated as disrespectful in person. And forget it, like, not that somebody's going to fight them or be violent. That's not the direction of my thought. They just would have a little bit more etiquette and a little bit more consideration, even if they didn't like the person. But because they're on the internet, the Twitter world it doesn't show anything personal. Most people don't have a real name. They don't have a real picture. They don't do anything real. So their whole persona is already fake. It's already like just built up of someone that's not them. You have people like us. It's a real picture. It's a real person. You know.
You know what I see it as. I really think it's just like the first. Like, how many people are actually frustrated out there? Because, I mean, you can't really blame it on this. Is how they release their stress, but they just don't realize how much they're causing pain. This is their outlet, but they're using that outlet in a wrong way because nobody's told them, yo, that's not right, bro. You know, and they haven't put that person in that same perspective. They see it as cool, so then they continue to bash on people, and people praise them. Oh my god, like, that's why they continue to do it. You know, I've seen even brothers that that have come in with me and this and that, and I've introduced them, and I've seen how they respond to certain things, and I'm like, hey, look, that's not even classy, bro. When they do something like that, you respond with something that they can't have a rebuttal. Don't disrespect, because people see that, and the people that are actually genuine, they don't respect you anymore. Yeah. Because now you're responding with the same response that was negative to begin with. So you drop that conversation with a comment with respect and class, and I promise you, it'll get to the point where nobody messes with you, and nobody even wants to mess with you because they can't get anything out of you. You just don't, you don't assess that situation and take it into account. Like, you don't have to intake that debt. You don't have to hold that, you know?
Yeah.
You leave it as light as possible, because that's somebody frustrated in the world. That's somebody that needs help.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not even saying it because, oh no, their mommy's an addict or whatever, because they might be, but this is their outlet. So you can't really, you got to just take it on a cool level where you're not affecting those people that are frustrated mentally, because you don't know what they're going through at home. It could be a child. It could be an adult that maybe, you know, is in a situation where they can't see a way out and they don't know how to approach. So you can't really be fighting negative with a negative. You know, you either leave it neutral, walk away, let them think about what they did, and boom, done. Yeah. They know they can't mess with you anymore. And then they start to question it. So now you left them with a question in their head. And that's the main thing. You put these people to think. These people just charge. You keep fighting it, they're going to keep charging.
You know? Yeah. Well said, Perez. Well said.
I love these topics, brother. I love these topics because I, like you, everybody has a story, and I'm a firm believer of that. But I do want to fight for those people that believe they're alone, because they're not. If you have a question, if you want to reach out, if I'm in the moment and I'm in the power to do it, I will do it. And I have plenty of people to confirm that, you know?
Yeah. And I want to add one more thing. I think Perez nailed it. If you really have a concern, do it in a DM. Yeah. Keep it private if you can. Sometimes out of emotion, you're just like, you're frustrated and you vent, and then it just turns something crazy.
Your venting triggers other people that need venting. So
exactly.
It's a cluster bomb.
Domino. Yeah, definitely a cluster.
When they feel like they won the argument, they never really win the argument, because now everybody looks at you like a fudster. Like, oh, look at this guy. He's going to come over here and start. Nobody wants you around.
Yeah. And then let me add one more quick thing.
Go for it.
In regards to the DM, if, you know, for example, in our defense and any content provider's defense, like, this is a blanket for every single content provider out there, because I also hear, let me add to that, the other side. Well, you know, I'm dying here. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I want to vent. I trust this person. So I DM them and they don't have time for me. Remember, like, as a content provider, we're new guys, but we get so many like messages. Remember, if they're a bigger content provider and they have thousands and thousands of subscribers, it gets really tricky. If somebody has, you know, take your pick, probably 100 or more, but even in the thousands, like 2,500, 10,000, 30,000, 100,000, they may not see your direct message.
So touch base on that.
This side, I'm defending all of the content providers for this one point. Keep in mind that they get so many, they may not see you. It's not that they're avoiding you. It's not that they're ignoring you. Not on purpose, I promise you. Because if you're a content provider, you love every single person who's following you or subscribed to you. You're trying to, that's like your family, your fan base, or your subscriber group. Is your support group. So don't be upset with, I don't care who your content provider is. It doesn't matter.
To touch base
on that. Don't be upset with them for that, you know?
To touch base on that, a content creator always has a, if you're on a live stream, they have moderators, right? If you're, private, then maybe it's a little easier to try to like pin it down. But when you're live, try to reach out to the moderators, because there's a reason they're there. They're not just there to take away bad language. No, they're there to help the content creator support their group. Like, whoever's there is to be supported by the moderator. So that's their job. And that goes out to all the moderators. If somebody reaches out to you and you see that this person is not responding and you see it from the corner, don't just walk away from it. Assess it. Hey, what is it that you need? Maybe I could help. It's as simple as that. And it might be something very simple. Like, it might be something very difficult. But if you see that it's out of your hands, then point them to the right direction. Because there's a ton of people that would love to help.
And that's, yeah, well said.
You know?
Well said. And not even think of that. That's actually really good. You know, we're moderators and other content providers show too, because they trust us. And they know we're going to be, you know, basically respond the way that they would. And that's kind of my thing. If I'm a moderator in someone else's group, obviously we're promoting like the Bullish family. That's kind of our support team.
That is our group.
So whenever we're like moderating for their channels, we're trying to keep it like the content like exciting for them too. Like if somebody has an answer, the moderator, as Perez is saying, is they're basically there to assist the host of that show. They should all be on the same page, or he should probably get, or she could probably look at a moderator that might match their personality, meaning representing them. But if you're a moderator for that show, that's kind of your duty. Help. If somebody's reaching out, like Perez says, it's not just for blanking out like bad word, bad language, FUD, et cetera. They're there to help assist too. And I think that's what makes a great stream or a great show. I personally haven't really done a live show yet. Pre-recorded live, I guess you could call that. And
I like
kind of working into it. You're a pro at this, at the live stream. I've never done one. I'm a little nervous, you know.
I'm not a pro at nothing, right? I'm the one that's like in the corner, like thinking, like, what? You know, it all takes time. You gotta get away from the camera shy. We're working on that. We want to come up with other ideas. This was perfect because everybody thought that we were going to shift into, oh my God, just the crypto. But this is just as important, because if you don't deal with, if you don't hit this in the head, I don't know, people are going to probably shift off, but that's up to them. You need to hear this, because if you want everybody around you to learn and feel comfortable with you and grow with you, how they preach it here, oh my God, yeah, grow. You got to make sure you're in the right niche. You got to make sure that people surrounding you are actually there to grow and progress, not just to like, and find this and find that. Like, you'll realize it. You'll realize it. And once you start to have personal conversations and you start to follow these people, because obviously you're gonna do your homework, you don't go into something blind. And with that homework being done, these conversations, because I get on a personal level with everyone, really. And you could ask the AD. I speak to Venture. I speak to Viking. Dustin Dio, anybody that I make that constant communication with, I like to know who they are. Why? Because I'm surrounding them. I'm feeding them my energy. My energy is costly. Why would I waste that on something that I'm not only am I bringing negativity to that person, because maybe, yeah, they might back you up, because there's a lot of sheeps out there that all they want to do is follow. Yes, but I'm not that person, so I need to know who I'm talking to. Who am I constantly saying hi to, and constantly giving them my blessings as a good human being that I am. And if you're bad or good, I'll still give you the blessings, but am I wasting my time giving you my time and my efforts? That CKJ, like I tell CKJ all the time, you don't owe me anything. I'm here because I believe in your cause. I believe what you've done is right.
Yeah.
You flourish. You make this market flourish, believe it or not. Because if he doesn't send a good message, we all do.
Yeah.
We're a reflection of the creator.
Yeah.
So anything we do outside of that little circle, that's on us. But we know to stay respectful and to keep it clean. And that's absolutely as far as I'll take it. And everybody that's on there that knows me knows that I'm speaking the truth, because I do it with action. I don't talk. No, if I tell you I'm going to do something for you, I do it.
Yeah.
And I try to do it as fast as possible to get it out of the way so I don't forget.
Oh, yeah, man. I am a firsthand example of that.
So, I know. I think one of the times that you were like, oh, I don't know, something about videos or something. And I told, oh, no, you're a superstar. I don't know what. And I was like, oh, if I catch you, like, it's a way of pushing that person and showing them, like, oh, I care about your stuff. Because if you actually like content creators' ideas and videos, I mean, they take a lot of time with this stuff. So if you like it, tell them. Don't just hold back. You know, I'd rather an organic follower than a person that doesn't want to hear me and they just subscribe just to subscribe. Like, to me, that's not worth anything. You're losing your time. And I mean, sorry, wasting your time. And I don't know what you have to say about that, DAD, but that's just my thought.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't disagree with the word you said.
You never do, bro.
Same page, man.
You just know who you're around. Just know who you're around and don't go in blind into anything. And that goes both ways. It's just like crypto. Yeah. Don't invest into anything because somebody said, okay? I hear that all the time. No, but this person, you're not surrounded by financial advisors.
Yeah.
You came into the market because you want to know. So intake all the information you can, but always revert back to the company. Read the white papers. Read the information that you need to read. Don't read articles that are written or blogs that are written by people because they can write whatever they want and exactly. Nobody's to stop them. The bigger the FUD, the better the article because they go by clicks.
Good.
So you need to assess what information you're actually getting. And this is why I know that a lot of the CEOs, and that's why Joe Katz sometimes when people make these articles and stuff that he'll comment in there, I just think he's just messing around with people's heads because he's like, people are really like listening to this, you know, like I get that feed off of that sometimes. That's why I don't even follow any of that stuff because I'm going to jump in a wormhole that I don't even want to be a part of. Let me stick to what I know, you know, and then ease my way out. Don't try to be comfortable because nothing falls on anybody's lap. You got to work hard for everything you do. Doesn't matter what it is. If you choose the comfortable way, then you get the consequences of choosing the comfortable way. But if you actually choose to put an effort into it, and everything that you choose to dedicate yourself to, even with a little bit of time, doesn't matter. At least you put in the effort. And until you understand it, don't put a dollar into it. Because then you're going to be the one crying that, no, that this, that, that. I didn't have nobody to tell me, oh, buy this and do that and do this and do that. Like, no, nothing. I bought into ICOs. Like, I was, hey, Dennis Rodman, hey, the ICOs. I didn't know nothing. And nobody was there to teach me. So that really sucks. That really sucks because I work all my life, I've worked super hard. I don't mind the money because the money can be made again. But it's just the fact that, wow, like any one of these people could have told me, yo, do this. And back then, though, that didn't exist. It was like, forget that.
Yeah. No, you like, I know a lot of us still use the word pioneer, but a few years ago, it was a literal pioneer. I know a lot of people, I'm adding to what you're saying, a lot of people are frustrated. But if you've been here, you know, I'm thinking back to the person who was frustrated for the past 2 years that it wasn't enough involvement or movement. Thinking 2 years ago, the word pioneer versus today pioneer, we're still early. As Chris Larson said, we're still early. In his mind, we're like 95, 96 of the internet boom. You know what I mean? And Brad Garlinghouse tends to use, we're in the 2 mile of the marathon. So they're both about the same timeline in a different analogy, different example. But today, pioneer, even though you're early, probably the top 2 to 5% of the planet, probably best case scenario, even are aware of the opportunity. It isn't what it was like pioneer. I mean, it was literally the wild, wild west, and it was pretty hectic.
People were losing their money left and right. Comfortable little wallets on your phone. Like, that didn't exist. You had to have a wallet on an exchange, and it was a mission, well, at least from what I knew at the time. I didn't know nothing, but I oh, my God, it was so hard. It was so hard. It was like, and I'm not even being like, I'm not even exaggerating. Like, you know, I found out about Ripple through a woman that told me, oh, look, buy this. No, she said, oh, I'm a Bitcoin millionaire, whatever. I have the story on Core if you want to see it. But she gave me a little paper like this. Literally, this is exactly what she did. She gave me a little paper like this, folded it up, and she was like, I'm gonna give you instructions on what to do if you want to be like me in the future, right? Talking about a Bitcoin millionaire lady, I don't care about all that. All the flashy stuff, that shit, it doesn't captivate me. What captivated me was that she actually wanted to have a conversation with me. She was probably going through some stuff, and she wanted to share this with me. She wanted to pass this along, and I saw it as, I don't see that very lightly, because if somebody was sharing something with you, you have a choice. Did you take it? Or you don't. And that might have been an opportunity. So don't waste an opportunity if it's going to be like, okay, let me get the little piece of paper and look it up. So that's the way that I was thinking. And the only thing that she had inside was this. I'm thinking like, because she put this inside of a $20 bill, right? And she said, and it says, find me. I said, find me on it. So I'm thinking she's going to give me instructions. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be rich. What? Right? But her lesson was, I didn't go through it, but you're going to have to go through it. Meaning, because her story was completely different. I'm not going to get into that. But it's just the fact that you got to work hard for what you want. This is what she gave me. She gave me a little paper like that. That's what it said. What am I supposed to do with this? All I had knowledge was that she was a Bitcoin millionaire and that I needed to do this if I wanted to be like her. And obviously, you know, I got ambition. Yeah, of course I want to be like you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be comfortable. Yeah. I want to have financial freedom. Yeah. I want to live my life. I don't want to live to work. I want to work to live. You know, people have the wrong concept. So I actually looked for it. I busted my ass 2-3 weeks and I got it. I eventually got it. Right. I got so frustrated with the whole idea of it. And that I, at that time I collected 400 and I got out. Not that I got out, but I just like shifted from it, left it. Within like a year or two where things started getting a little more, a year or a half a year. I kind of started getting back into it because now I had a friend that was talking about it, but he wasn't even there for me. Like he would feed me. Oh, he would bomb me up. And I'd be like, oh God, I gotta figure this out. And then little by little, I started building on it and building on it and building on it. And this is where I am now. And I will never express something or tell you something that I haven't experienced myself. If that's the case and I'm going through it right now, I'll tell you, hey, once I've gone through it, then I'll tell you exactly how it went. Because a lot of people just, they feel like, oh, I don't want to be in this alone. So let me see if this guy will jump in with me. You know, like, no, jump in by yourself. Take your man. You know, the answers, you know, the consequences of your actions. So if you go in with that mentality, you'll never lose. Because if you can't deal with the consequences, then you just don't do it. Period. Knowing that, like, why you're not going to fall in a hole. But if you can't deal with it, don't bring somebody along with you. Am I right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Don't bring someone down, you know.
You know,
take a step back, catch your breath, get your balance, and then come back strong and help somebody else stabilize themselves too.
Exactly. Exactly. And even when you're up there or even when you're going up there, reach back and help somebody because you want your son to have or your kid or your daughter or your whoever it is that you love, whatever it is, your dog, your cat, you want somebody to have the values, the kindness, the treatment that you gave that one person that just all that they don't even need much. All they wanted was an answer. Period. That's all it takes. Some problems are so easy to solve, but we make them more complicated than what they are because we don't give it the time of day. But if you just stop, take a breather, and listen, things will get a lot easier because now you don't have all that noise in your mind. We think 11,000 thoughts per second. So if you can and let it out, you start to, okay, you start to analyze and take control. Stop being on autopilot. You know, listen, we're not trained to do that. So when you don't, I understand, but listen, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Make somebody feel important one day, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that was a good discussion, man. We kind of like the last video, it started somewhere and it just ended up somewhere amazing again. I think, you know, I think this was good. I think we both kind of got a lot off our chest with that and got to share even within ourselves, venting to each other, showing that, you know, hey, you're not alone out there. All of us are feeling like that. It's natural. It's normal. It's a human reaction. It's an emotion. That's normal.
One thing I wanted to tell you, bro, when we talked on the phone for the first time, it was like we were kids at a candy store. Why? Because we had so much to say that people won't understand, and we thought people won't understand, but it was the same issues that we were clashing with, me and him.
Yeah.
Oh, you were going through that? Yeah, bro. Oh my God, you too? Oh, no way. Bro, how do you get over this? Well, I do it like this. How do you do it? And that's what you feed off each other, right?
Oh man, it's amazing.
And it went by like this.
Yeah, so fast. And when the funny thing is I was standing out by the pool, I'm like, oh my God, my phone's at 1%. Hold on. Let me run inside and find a charger.
It wasn't even like, I'm going to go inside, find a charger. Okay, I'm plugged in, you know?
Yeah, it was funny.
It's something.
Time flew by.
But you know what? Now you don't feel alone. Now you're like, okay, when I'm going through this, I can call this person and he can help me out with this. So like I told you, oh, look, what do you need? You need, oh, you need to do this, do Zoom or whatever. Even if I don't know how to do it, I'm a helping hand, right? You can't build a house. Like one person can't build a house unless they got help. Like honestly, nowadays.
Yeah.
Pick up those rocks, I pick up that sand, you know? It's crazy, but that's the way life is. And it's gotten easier with technology, but
yeah,
don't get too comfortable.
Yeah. And a quick like synopsis, like a quick wrap up of this one. We've probably made a longer one, which is great. It's been a great, but I think the, from the first, from the last video to this one, we kind of connected and gave the last video closure. And I think this video was good because that was really, we kind of wanted to just, I want to surprise you with that information. I thought it was exciting because it kind of gave the rest of the answers from the last video. Yeah. And I think this video, we kind of got into XLM a little bit. We got into XRP a little bit and we were able to go through the history so that the new people could actually learn and understand. And there's going to be people who've been around as long as us and didn't know some of the information we shared. I think that was good too. Correct. But I think we kind of extended into, you know, sharing our thoughts and our feelings and our emotion, what we went through. But I think that was good for the people who are feeling it like we are, like we did, to hear, oh, wow, I'm not the only one. I'm not alone. Even content providers are feeling the same thing, but they're still pushing out content. And the reason is because we believe in this. We know. And as many, again, hours as we've spent researching over weeks, months, days, years.
Hold on. Look at this.
And we're still here. You know what I mean?
Look at this. This is not like we don't just sit around.
Excuse me, sorry.
And it's kind of sad though too. Like that's another thing I wanted to space before we go. Like before I even put a video out, there's a dislike. It's like somebody, but I don't let that in. I'm just mentioning it because I don't let it bother me. But it's sad because it will bother somebody else. You do all this work, you put in all this effort for these people to learn something that we didn't have before, something, an approach. What is this? And we spent hours and hours and hours trying to perfect it and trying to give you guys something real good. And you put out your video, it hasn't even like touched ground yet, and there's already dislikes. Like, did you even watch it?
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I don't care. But there's a lot of people that do because they put in a lot of work and a lot of effort. And for somebody to just come and, oh, yeah, you know what? Just because this person, I'm going to, like, please, bro, get a life. Do something positive with yourself. You know, come find me. Come talk to me. I don't care. You know, but that's a waste of time. That's saddening. That's sad that we live in a place where people can't just let something slide that has nothing to do with them. They do it because they get a satisfaction out of it. That's an infection. You're not right. That's not right. You're affecting somebody that doesn't even know you, that you haven't had words with. Oh, it's an hour long? Oh, I don't care, like I said, but a lot of people do. And a lot of people take that very seriously. And that's why you have a lot of content creators drop off. The ones that you like, oh, where did he go? I wonder where he went to go do something more positive and to motivate people or in person or something, somebody that he can deal with on a face-to-face basis. So don't ruin that for people that have amazing content and maybe they're sensitive. You don't know. So, you know, try to be as discreet as possible. If you don't like something, move away from it. You know, they gave you the option with the thumbs down and I don't know why they even give people that option. But honestly,
if you don't like it, that's true though.
Shift away from it. Like that's causing anger within people, like, because even if it does suck, you know, say it in your head and then start to like evaluate yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, this sucks. Oh, and keep your opinions to yourself, because I don't want to hear them. You don't pay my bills, you know. Yeah. you don't do the research that I do. I want the people that appreciate it to be on my page. You don't need to be there.
Yeah.
You know,
that's probably, I didn't mean to interrupt, that's probably a good point right there.
I'm sorry,
you don't like the content. It's like, just find somewhere that you do. And I've thought about actually doing a show on that. Maybe that's something we want to do too. I don't know. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's bad. Maybe it's right. Maybe it's wrong. I don't know. But of content providers, and maybe that's something individual so that somebody doesn't get mad at everybody.
Yeah, I don't know. And I would like to be, that's a topic that you would do kind of live because you want people to get involved with it.
That's true. That's a good, you know? That's a good one, actually. Maybe that's something to do live.
Of course. You know, that's something that we can do live, and it'll be just like a chat. Because, yes, people get overwhelmed with the whole crypto scene. They do. Mm-hmm. They do get overwhelmed. They're frustrated. There's people that have invested a ton, and people make fun of these people. They want financial freedom just like you and me, and they don't see any other way.
Yeah.
So you can't laugh at these people, and you can't say nothing because you don't know that. It's really, really sad how people kill themselves. Bro, I don't even want to go there because I've seen it. You know, people get strained out. I can't afford my next bill. I put it all into this because this is what was built up in my head. You know, yeah. Maybe they never had it. Somebody say, "Oh, invest what you can."
Yeah.
You know, maybe they never had that. So they're ignorant towards. This is why you got to be careful what you do and what you say.
And I think for us as content providers, again, going back to so much research, when we hear. There's kind of two sides. When we hear, like you and I, I'm going to be more specific. Mm-hmm. If we hear FOMO, we understand, oh, this is great. I love it. I love all this energy. But when someone else who doesn't do our research hears that, they're like, oh my God, what can I sell? My car, my house. And there's a story in UK, not even a joke. I don't know if you've seen it, but the guy sold his flat. I believe it was $275,000 at the time on the way up when Bitcoin was like really, really, really top. Sold his flat for £275,000, dumped every penny into Bitcoin. And that was literally at the peak when it turned and went on its way down. The guy, you can find him on YouTube. And I almost believe that's the exact number. You could probably find guy invests £275,000. Maybe I should pull it up, but
Are you talking about? I think I know who you're talking about. I'm sorry.
He seemed a younger guy too. He's like our age, and maybe younger. He like lost all of it.
Everything.
Like he lost all of it because it tanked. He was like pretty bummed. He's like, I learned my lesson. You know, I still believe in it, but I was a very expensive loss, and he didn't know what to do. I mean, it tanked down. He's like, whoa, I got to get out of this before I lose everything.
And then at that moment, he's going to need somebody that was in Bitcoin trading so he can make his money back. Because there's somehow, some way, you're going to be able to get your money back. You just need to put a little work, put in the effort, and you're going to find it. And you're going to want to recover your funds, especially if you did something like that happened to you. But you want to be that person that where somebody can go to. Be like, oh, look, like this happened to me, and I need this. Because when you're at the top of the world, you feel like you don't need anybody. But that's not really the reality. Because people get old and people get crippled and you end up miserable by yourself, you know? That's all you take with you is your memories, to be honest. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I think we can probably close off with the final statement, basically on the investment where we're discussing now. Again, remember, if we're content providers, we're not like financial advisors. Just remember, if you're going to invest something, the number one rule you'll probably hear from any content provider is, don't invest more than you can throw away or afford to lose. We know this is exciting, and that's what we're here to do, is share our research. And because we're excited, we know where it's headed.
And calm
down. It's not get rich quick. You can. I mean, if your timing is perfect, you come right in and then all of a sudden it launches and you're at the peak. That is very lucky. That is one in a million. That's not normal. That's not common. And that's what people love about crypto. But again, digital assets, all, you know, it's just basically the same thing. Even a crypto is still a digital asset.
Everybody has a gift, and some people can move markets, some people can't. My gift is that I could talk. I could talk to pretty much anybody and get along with them. Even if they hate me at one point, eventually they won't, because that's not what I'm here for. That's not what I'm on planet Earth for. It's not.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to continue to give that or feed that. So eventually it gets to a point where that person has to learn to accept you or shift away. Bye. You know, I'm always going to be here. I'm not going to move because you decided that you're mad. I'm on my path. You know, you want to either flourish with me, you want to move with me, or you want to move against me. But I'll leave it at that. And if you like the content, smash the likes, subscribe, notification bell. And we'll be sure to bring you more content. Please let us know what you thought about this. I mean, we're experimenting. We really touched base with the last video. But we shifted into this and it was perfect because it needs to be said. We need to talk about it. And please leave the comments. Leave something in the comments. You got anything to say before we close?
No, man. I've said everything. Everything.
Well, I appreciate your time. And we definitely got more planned. We're on fire, baby. Take care, guys.
Night.